Two Broke Chicks is recorded on Gadigal land of the Eora Nation. We acknowledge Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples as the traditional custodians of our land. Always was, always will be. Today's episode is presented by Shopback, and PSA Chicks Afterpay Day kicks off today. There are a bunch of sales happening, but we've made it super easy for you. As usual, we've dropped our cheat sheet with all the Afterpay Day sales in one place across fashion, beauty, lifestyle, and a bunch more. Plus, everywhere you can get cash back on top of the sales when you use Shopback. If you haven't already signed up to Shopback for free, of course, keep listening for our exclusive code to treat yourself to a $20 sign-up bonus. Treat yourself. Hey chicks, I'm Al.
And I'm Sal.
And this is Two Broke Chicks, the show that shares life lessons because we're broken funds but rich in life. And welcome back to part two of Friendship Week, which we've just coined.
Bestie Week.
Besties. Because, in case you missed it on Tuesday, we wrote a book. Mm-hmm. So it's called Finding Your People, The Ultimate Guide to Friendship, and it is available to pre-order now. We've popped a link in the show notes to make life easier. And today we wanted to chat about the most important friendship of all, the one with yourself. Mm-hmm. So we do also share a product recommendation at the start of all of our episodes, but I think us promoting our own book probably counts.
Yeah, right?
Enough. Like, we don't want to be shoving shit down your throat. So that can be the product recommendation for the week. And it does really help pre-orders for authors because it helps show stores that the book is going to be a hit and they'll order 500 million bajillion kajillion copies. Mm-hmm. Not really, but you get it.
So, yeah, we would appreciate all the love and support from you chicks, and we honestly think that you'll love it. So, yeah, pre-order, link in show notes.
Exactly. So let's get into the episode, jumping straight in. Mm-hmm. Being your own bestie.
Yep. So being your own bestie is actually the first chapter. You might think that it's odd to start a book about friendship with a chapter that's about being alone. But if you think about it, it's actually the fundamental foundation to being a good friend and finding your people. Because, like, we know our relationship with ourselves is important. Like, duh. But it's actually wild how many people don't put the same amount of effort into their friendship with themselves as they do with others.
Mm, I don't think we think about the way that we speak to ourselves versus the way we speak to our friends enough. Like, we're so incredibly self-critical. However, we would never be this way to our friends. Like, we would never rag on them for, like, you know, dropping the ball at work or not going to the gym three times a week.
Yeah.
Like, but we are so mean to ourselves. Like, when has a friend ever sat next to you being like, oh, you ate a whole block of chocolate?
Yeah.
Oh, you were late and you messed this up? Oh, if you do have a friend like that, time to go.
Yeah, honestly, because we do typically reserve so much, like, forgiveness and empathy and kindness for our friends, which is beautiful and how it should be, but, like, we should be doing that with ourselves too. Mm.
It's like when we did that interview with Alexis and she said that when we're driving, we get 12 demerit points. So we need to give ourselves as a friend more, like, demerit points and more opportunities to fuck up, because having the expectation that that's not going to happen is really unfair to yourself. And then because you've set that unachievable expectation, the way that you then speak to yourself from that is also cruel.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're kind of setting yourself up for failure because you don't allow yourself any room for error.
Oh, 1,000%.
Which is always going to happen. And as a result, if you were stuck in that pattern of speaking to yourself like that and not affording yourself that forgiveness, a lot of the time you can end up with really low self-esteem and self-worth. And when you don't put yourself at a higher value, you also, like, don't have high standards for the other people in your life, which means that you may be more open to, like, toxic romantic relationships or friendships because you think of yourself with such little worth and value, which is so sad. So, in other words, you'll have shitty friends or you'll be a shitty friend, and neither of those things are a good situation, chicks.
Obviously, being your own bestie, like any friendship, does take work. Like, all friendships. They don't just like magically appear and are the most perfect relationship in the world.
Mm.
So you do have to build trust, spend quality time, and be open and honest with yourself, which is definitely a scary thing. And it's why we wrote about the zero inbox technique.
Mm-hmm.
And so it does go into a bit more depth, but I wanted to give like a little bit of an overview.
Top line.
Yeah.
Summary.
So the zero inbox technique, we first heard of the zero inbox technique when listening to an episode of Do You Fucking Mind by Alexis Fernandez.
Another shout out.
Yeah, another shout out. Can you tell we're big fans?
We love her.
And it literally blew our minds a little bit. So here's a little snippet to give you a sneak peek. Spending time alone with your thoughts sounds scary. Many of us struggle with it because the noise in our head becomes loud and we get distracted easily. How often do you sit to watch TV only to pick up your phone and scroll on that too? Naval Ravikant is an entrepreneur, investor, and modern meditation guru. Before you panic that we're about to go down a woo-woo hole, bear with us. In its simplest sense, meditation is a way to actively spend time alone without being pacified by tools of entertainment. Ravikant sees meditation as a time of self-examination, sitting there with your thoughts and the art of doing nothing. According to him, the goal is to reach inbox zero. He encourages us to think of our minds as an email inbox, which if left unchecked, will be overflowing with a mix of information, spam, junk, and trash. When we spend time alone, unpacified by distraction, we can filter through our mental inbox with the goal to reach inbox zero. So here's how it's done. Step one, sit for at least 60 minutes first thing in the morning. Step two, let whatever happens happen. And step three, repeat for 60 days. Now, personally, we don't, and most people don't always have 60 minutes to meditate every day. But we discuss this theory in the book because we do think that the idea behind it and practice makes a lot of sense. I remember when we were in Bali. Standard. And we went to, yeah, I know, right? Everyone goes to Bali and finds themselves, including us. And we did this meditation at the Yoga Barn, which
yes.
Highly recommend if you're going to Bali. It's in Ubud. And the meditation, he was saying how, like, your mind is going to wander. Like, that's, I think it's unachievable to think that when you're sitting with your thoughts, your mind is going to get distracted and it will wander.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really important to do it because what was it? You start out, like, thoughts start out as a worm.
Yep.
And then the more that they're left unchecked, the more that they'll grow into a snake. A snake becomes nasty and bites at our friends, and then the snake turns into a dragon and eats ourselves.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit.
I am the dragon.
Yeah. And there are moments that, like, yeah, if I haven't, you know, been nice to myself or haven't given myself space to think about something, I do become a dragon to myself and just, like, am not pleasant to be with myself or for others to be around, to be honest.
Yeah.
When you're in, like, that kind of mood. So because, like, I don't think anyone can just snap into doing 60 minutes of meditation straight away, and I think that's fair enough, there are activities to put into your everyday routine and even just a couple days a week that can help with filtering out your brain noise.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get into the ways that you can filter your brain and our favourite ways to treat ourselves like our own besties after that break.
Afterpay Day sales are coming in hot in the sales cheat sheet, and you can earn up to 30% cash back on top of the savings when you shop through ShopBack at stores like Sephora, Rebel Sport, Glassons, Stacks, and heaps more.
Plus, you can earn even more with upsized cashback offers during Afterpay Day. These upsized flash offers are only available for a limited time only, so check out the ShopBack app to stay on top of the latest dealios.
And if you don't already have ShopBack, use our code 2BROKECHICKS for a cheeky $20. We're back.
Back. And better than ever. Woo! The magical world of podcast editing.
Okay.
What? Do you know what that sounded like?
What?
It sounded like the bit in Robin Hood.
Yeah.
No, that just sounded like the start of the What If God Was
Why
One
Are We Like
of
This?
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah, me too.
My mum always used to play it on the way to school.
Mm, it's a sad one.
Yeah, and she's always like, What If God? Yeah, I love it. 10 out of 10. Okay, so we are going to go through the 7 rules of being your own best friend.
Mm-hmm.
These are very vulnerable things.
Yeah.
I'm going to cry. I already know it. I'm sensitive today.
Okay.
So we each have a couple that we want to share.
Yep.
So number one is I don't expect myself to be my best friend all the time. I think it's really unachievable to think that we're going to wake up and love ourselves all the time. And so when writing this section, it was really important to try and communicate this. So a little sneak peek. In an episode of his podcast, The Curiosity Chronicles, Sahil Bloom talks listeners through the American Time Use Survey, which shows that the time we spend alone steadily increases throughout our lives. Bloom implores us to learn to embrace solitude and to flex our boredom muscle regularly. My take is that we need to find happiness and joy in the time we have to ourselves. There will be a whole lot more of it as we get older. When we have a great relationship with ourselves, great friendships will follow. That's when we know we've got it figured out. It's not always easy. Sometimes in the moment, you won't be the nicest friend to yourself. You will talk to yourself in a way that you'd never speak to someone you love. Voices in your head will tell you you're not good enough, too loud, or sometimes even unlikable. When you do feel like you are on your own, I want you to know that it's okay to not like yourself sometimes, but it's more than okay to love yourself most of the time too. I want you to say, fuck.
You've got this.
Damn it.
You're doing a good job.
I knew I was going to cry in this bit. I feel like I needed to hear this today, so it's why.
Oh, don't. No, I'm going to fucking cry.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to get through this.
That's all right.
Woo, okay. I want you to sit in the sun and recharge your soul. I want you to start to love the sound of your own laugh. I want you to talk to yourself and make weird noises when you're on your own. I want you to be silly. I want you to realize the radiance you have inside you and how it radiates to the people around you. I want you to learn which small daily treats, such as a morning coffee, bring you joy. I want you to sit on your couch with delicious takeaway and press play on your favorite TV show. My personal favorite is The Vampire Diaries. I hope you realize you are deserving of all the love you've ever received and is yet to come your way. When the most fulfilling and gratifying relationship you have is with yourself and all other relationships and connections in your life further enrich your happiness.
That was beautiful. Good job, Al.
Sorry.
For anyone just listening, Alex is crying.
And I have to go to Taylor Swift tonight and I can't fuck up my makeup.
You'll be crying then too, probably.
Probably, it's exactly fine. There's no point. Don't worry. Setting sprayed.
That's my girl.
Well, yeah. I think evidently that's a reminder that like I needed today.
Yeah.
Again. And like wrote that.
Yeah.
You know?
And just like a friendship with another person, the one with yourself isn't always going to be like just going on an uphill trajectory and getting better and better. Like you're going to have days when you forget some of these things or, you know, you're not prioritizing some of these things and that's okay as well. Like don't beat yourself up too much if you're like, fuck, but like I should be like being less hard on myself or I should be prioritizing more time for myself because it's going to come in waves and that's so fine.
Also just like there's a reason why the term you're human is such a common phrase. There's a reason why we have that because we need to account for, you know, making mistakes and not beating ourselves up for it. And I think a lot of that comes from the fear of other people and other people's opinions of, you know, if I fuck up, people are going to think this.
Yeah.
And then you start believing what other people have to say about you.
Yeah.
But I think when you really work on enriching the relationship you have with yourself, the times that other people do have an opinion of you won't hurt as much.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah. That was a teary one.
That was good.
So what's your rule for being your own bestie?
Mm-hmm. So I learned to call myself out and give myself tough love when needed. I think, you know, in the past for me, I had always been really quick to like cut people off or, you know, sort of have like a one strike and you're out rule. I think to protect myself, but really like you said, people are human and that doesn't allow for friendships with myself or with other people to blossom. And I think because I'm so hard on myself, sometimes I would have like a really high standard for other people that just wasn't realistic. Mm. Not everybody's going to want to live their life the same way that I do, but also like I'm not perfect and I'm not a saint and I make mistakes all the time. So
I think it also came from like how much you love people. Like you do love very deeply.
I think that's the thing as well. Yeah. Like without going into too much detail, a lot of the time it was when people were perhaps in relationships that I didn't necessarily think were good for them. And I would just want the best for my friend, but then would end up just being like so severe to them that it's just like that would like cut them off. And then I think I needed to like look inward and give myself some tough love and be like, you're being too harsh. You're holding people at impossible standards. Yes, like you're coming at it from a place of wanting the best for them and from a place of love. But with love also comes like respect for them and their decisions and also forgiveness and empathy. And I think that's where I wasn't always holding space for people. And it's what you have to do with like friendships with other people as well. You do have to call them out sometimes and give people a little bit of tough love. So having to do that with myself was really, really hard, but has been so, so rewarding. And I think I've only had better relationships with myself because now I'm a little bit more forgiving to myself, but also can call myself out on my own bullshit, but also now have more empathy for the other people in my life as well.
How old do you think you were when you started learning that lesson?
Probably that I didn't really grasp that until like my early to mid 20s. And it's been like a journey. So it's still ongoing.
I think everyone learns that lesson at some point in time though. I think if you can't call yourself out and put your hands up and be like, oopsie, I fucked up. Then you're also setting yourself up for a bit of a failure.
Exactly.
Because, I think at the end of the day, when someone's feelings are hurt or when something's going on, you need to be able to be like, what was my role in this period of drama?
Yeah. And it's hard to do that because by doing that, you have to admit that you've done something wrong. And then to really mean it, then you have to learn from it and do the work to become better. So it's hard, but it's so worth it.
100%. I love you.
I love you too.
I think I'm so proud of you.
Oh, God.
All tears. Shit, I'm not wearing waterproof mascara. Okay, so my second life lesson on how to be my own best friend is and was learning the difference between am I alone or am I just lonely? And it might not feel like these two things are different things, but they're very, very different because one is like a physical state. Like you are just alone. Like you are alone in your apartment.
Yeah.
You're alone on a walk. But then being lonely is like that whole thing of you can be sitting in a room of people and still feel lonely. Or you can be spending time on your own and feel really lonely. Yeah. And it was more when I moved out of home, broke up, like was going through a breakup and then was also having like difficulty with a friendship group that I was like, oh my God, I'm completely alone. But I wasn't alone. I was just so lonely. And I really had this I was really self-conscious of it that constantly, like if I didn't have weekend plans, like if I was on my own on a Friday night, I would just be riddled with sadness and anxiety because I was like, what a fucking loser. I was like, wow, it's Friday and I've got no plans. And it took a lot of self-worth work to like navigate out of that and realize how much I love being on my own and how much like not having plans doesn't make me lonely and how I really needed to work on that relationship with myself in order to not depend on friendships too much either.
Yeah.
Like I, Sal and I would go to work, go to the gym after work, and then text on like three different platforms that night.
Yep.
Like, but text like constantly.
Like all night.
Like all night.
Yeah. And then we'd wake up.
And then text.
And text.
And be like, good morning.
Yeah. Morning.
How are you?
What are you wearing to work today? Yeah.
And it would be like, so what are you having for dinner? Oh, yeah, pasta. How about you? Oh, yeah, this. What are you going to watch? Oh, I think I might watch this. Constant.
Yeah.
And as much as I look back on it fondly and loved the love that we had, it was not sustainable and was just like a reflection of how scared I was to like be in my own head.
Yeah.
And that it, you know, is a tough thing to do, but learning the difference between, you know, am I lonely or am I alone was very, very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And if you aren't comfortable spending time on your own, that's something that it will be really valuable to work on in the long run. And when I say like spending time on your own, that is, there is an option that there is dinner happening or you could go somewhere and do something, but you choose to spend the time on your own, mm-hmm. even though you have like, it's not a forced isolation time with oneself.
Yeah, exactly. And that kind of relates to my next rule, which is actively seeking out moments of solitude. And I think that in your case, you went through this revelation as a result of like a really hard breakup and then also like a friendship fallout. Mm. But I think that you don't necessarily have to go through that, or people can be set up for success even more if they learn how to do this before they get to that rock bottom moment, if possible. And I think that for me, I never wanted to be that person that was like bailing on plans. I always like wanted to go to every single event, every dinner. Like I had obviously FOMO, seriously, but also just never wanted to let anyone down. And I think as a result of that, I got just so burnt out and my social battery just couldn't. And then I'd end up like resenting the plans or resenting like the opportunity to spend time with people when I really
appreciate the time.
Yeah, like when I really should be looking forward to it. And I was always having fun, but in the lead up to it, I'd be like dreading it because I obviously was just exhausted. So then similar to what you were saying, I was like actively seeking out moments of solitude and recognizing when I needed to spend time alone and learning to communicate that in a way that's honest and also gentle and not like lying to people, being like, oh, I've got like a family thing.
Yeah,
I
gotta wash my second cousin's hair.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, can't come.
Which, you know,
dog got out. Do you have a dog? No.
No. I got one today. Yeah, like not having to lie about it and just being able to be like, I can't today. Or even in the lead up being like, I'm just feeling some kind of way this week. I'm gonna see how I feel on the weekend. And yeah, I just feel like from doing that, then I've learnt to spend time alone, not have FOMO when people are doing other things and I'm not there.
FOMO's so hard.
It's so hard.
FOMO's so hard. That was one of the things that I struggled with so much, that it was like I'd be on my own and everyone on Instagram stories were all out and having fun. And I was like, what loser am I?
Yeah.
That like everyone's – and it would be like – people I knew and I just so desperately wanted to just be invited.
Exactly.
And that's okay too. Like you're allowed to want to seek friendship and be invited to things, but your self-worth can't rely on that.
Mm-hmm. And in those moments of solitude, like really making a conscious effort to do things for yourself, do something nice for yourself so that you really can relish in that time alone as if you were spending time with a friend.
Yeah.
And then you don't feel as lonely or pathetic or comparing your Saturday night plans to what other people are doing because you're genuinely enjoying your time and your friendship with yourself.
I did that on the weekend, actually. I was supposed to go out and I was just like, I'm not feeling it. And then the thunder was rolling in and I was like, ooh. You know, by Bruce in Nemo, and he's like, ooh, let's go.
Yeah.
I was like, there's a thunderstorm. I'm ordering Uber Eats and I'm staying home and I watched the new Avatar series.
How is it?
Amazing.
I've been meaning to
watch it. I watched it in like 2 days. I'm sad it's over and I've started watching the animation now.
Oh, I love the animation so much. So I'm so excited.
Okay, I fell asleep to it last night. I like put it on the projector in my room. Mm. That sounds so bougie. Sorry, it's not really, but
it's great.
It's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
And then apparently my partner just came in and I was like catching flies, like full open mouth, drool down the side of my face.
And then
he turned it off and I was like, what are you careful?
See, this is the absolute bliss you can experience if you're your own best friend.
Yeah. I was like, get out.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. Okay. The next lesson I learned on how to be my own best friend is a really simple one, but it's just complimenting myself. I've had like a very, you know, rogue relationship with the way that I look. I relied on, you know, enhancements a lot. I was looking at a photo of me when I was like 21 with lip filler and I was like, holy shit, who let me walk around looking like that? Like, yeah. That's not anything on anyone that does get filler, because I like do say do whatever you want, that's going to make you feel good.
Yeah.
But it just became a massive crutch that I felt like I got a bit of body dysmorphia with like the swelling.
Yeah.
And I could not compliment myself on something that was just me and like that I was relying on other things, and I'd be like, oh, yay, like my lips are so nice now.
Yeah.
Because I had lip filler. But that was something different. Like it wasn't actually me. And so then I learnt and have really been putting in an effort to compliment myself a little bit more. And I do think people think it's a bit of a joke, and sometimes it is. But, like, I'll be sitting there and I'll be like, fuck, my makeup looks good.
Yeah.
I'll be like, hair today, slaying.
Yeah.
Like, this is the one.
Outfit.
Yeah.
10
like,
out of 10. Will,
and I'm not, like, it's not an everyday thing. I'm not in love with myself. I wish I was.
But
they're, like, and do you know what? On the days where I don't feel that great about myself is the day that I really try to make an effort to be like, okay, do you know what? What's one thing? What's one thing we like? And I'm like, okay. I like my eyeliner.
Yeah.
I feel like I did a good job on that today. And I'll really actively say that to myself or be like, nah, you're good. Like, your hair looks nice or something like this. And your self-worth isn't measured on physical either. Like, there will be times that, you know, I felt like I did something really nice or I did a good job, and I'll be like, God, I'm good. I'm so smart.
Yeah. Like,
and, you know, like, some people may take that as being obnoxious, and I definitely don't mean it in that way, because, like, let's practice self-awareness. We're not always going to be like 10 out of 10 fabulous, amazing, brave. But in the moments that you are, give yourself a pat on the back. Be proud of yourself. Be like, slay, boots, house, down, mama.
Yeah, and verbalize it. Like, it's one thing to think it. That's really good. That's a good start. But say it to yourself or to someone else. I feel like that just makes it so much more real. And also, like, it's nice as well. It encourages other people to speak about themselves the same way too if they hear it.
Yeah.
But say it to yourself in the mirror.
I went for a run, and I'm, like, not a runner, not a track star. And I was, like, I will, like, look ahead and I'll be like, okay, I'll run to that pole, for example.
Yeah.
And then I'll get there and I'll be like, you know what, I'll do the next one. And I did it, and it really wasn't that far. But then out loud and not consciously just went, oh, I'm so proud of you.
Aww,
and it was just
that's
nice.
So sweet.
So, yeah, just doing that a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, doesn't have to be about your looks. It can be about anything. But that was something that I had a bit of an insecurity about. So that's why I had to work on that.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I think a lot of people would be able to relate to that. My last rule for being my own best friend is doing at least one act of kindness for myself every day. I think that especially when I was a teenager and when I was in my early 20s and, you know, at uni and doing like 6 internships at the time, that was like my entire personality, right? Like I was always like, oh, I'm so busy. Like, I've just got
to go to the city.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the city because I'm a city girl.
About going to the city.
Yeah, being like a Wollongong girly, it's like I'm fully like those TikToks. It's like when you see that friend that moved to the city and now they think they're better than you. Being like, oh, really? Like, oh, is that place still open?
Oh, my God. I totally forgot
about that.
I used to go there.
Yeah.
Now I live in the city.
Everyone's like, I don't give a fuck. But, like, I'd always be like, oh, like, you know, I've got so many assignments due. I've got this and that. And, like, would just, like, make that my whole personality. And just wasn't really allowing myself any time to like do anything good for myself.
Because we grew up watching The Devil Wears Prada.
Honestly, though, like that is 1,000%.
And like Andy Anderson.
Yeah, and like The Hills.
10 days. Yes.
Like, I need to be running around like getting someone's photocopies.
Like with like a coffee.
Yeah.
With like heels, and it's like that little like Sarah Jessica Parker run across the street from Sex and the City.
With like a little pencil skirt on.
I hear you. That's with like a little kitten heel.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And obviously, like, that's, like, cute and fun for 2 seconds when you're, like, 18. But I carried it on with me to my mid to late 20s as well, and still struggle with it. I really struggle to, like, switch off and feel really guilty whenever I do. But I just like found that I was always fucking complaining about something to myself in my head. No one likes a whinger. And like either most of the time I was saying it to myself because I didn't want people to think that
still,
I was like.
No one likes a whinger, even yourself.
Yeah. I didn't want people to like see me like, you know, having a
sweat.
No,
you're too busy in the city.
I'm too busy in the city.
You're too busy getting coffee in the city.
I'm successful. Yeah. All this stuff. Like, no, I'm fine. I'm juggling this great. Like, I just have a really strong
Meanwhile,
work
you're
ethic.
Like in the shower in fetal position being like, how do I do this?
Exactly, yeah. And sometimes like that one good thing you can do for yourself is having like a whole beach day with a book and like turning your phone off and whatever, and that's amazing. Or like going on a night out with the girls, okay, Alex, in my scenario. Or it can literally be like going and buying yourself a coffee or watching an episode of something on YouTube that you love.
Oh, see, I had a massive YouTube era. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I'm like still in it with like my Drag Race stuff. Yeah. I still, but like that's the thing. Like
I loved when you I had do a my really skin, big YouTube era.
You would be like, my Emma Chamberlain.
Did you watch the Seven Looks? And I was like, no, what's that? And you're like, oh my God, so. Get like a full debrief or like the song association be like, oh my God, Niall Horan did a song association. Did you see it? And I was like, no. And you're like, I'll send it to you.
I'm still there. Anything Niall Horan's doing, his like beauty secrets on Vogue.
Did he do
it.
Beauty
yeah,
secrets?
It was so good. I'll send it to you. He has a really good regime.
Whenever I think
so
of
hot.
Beauty secrets, I just think of Madison Beer's one that just went viral.
Oh my God.
And I was just watching her being like,
yeah, she is stunning and can do no wrong. But anyway, yeah, so I just tried to make a conscious note to do one thing for myself that didn't have anything to do with like work or productivity and could just be completely stupid or something that I just really want to do. And then like now with my Rich in Life journal, I'll write it down. But before I just tried to be like, live in the moment, you're doing this one thing for yourself and really just focus on it. And I think it just stopped me from being really pessimistic and being like, oh, like today was so busy, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, but what about that donut I had that fucking slapped? And like that brings me down to earth a little bit. But yeah, that's my last one.
Into it. My last one is trusting my gut. And it's probably been one of the biggest lessons I've learned in my 20s. Not only about friendship, but just in life. Like, if your intuition is telling you something, there is without a doubt a reason for you to listen to that.
Absolutely.
And just go with caution. I'm not saying that if, you know, there's a feeling in that you're like, oh, I don't know about this, that may just be anxiety and nervousness for something new. But when you have a gut feeling about something that you're like, I feel sick. I could throw up.
Bad juju.
I can't sleep. This doesn't feel right. Definitely trust it. I knew in my gut the day before I was getting dumped and there was nothing, there was no sign to tell me. I texted Sal and I was like, I reckon I'm getting dumped. And then she was like, you're crazy.
I was like, no
way. You silly girl. No way. What? And then you're like, Alex, you've convinced yourself of this. You've like Elle Woods yourself in a debate in your mind.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, okay. And then the next day I got dumped and I was like, I knew it.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It's not your fault.
I really didn't think that was going to happen.
I think you also just maybe really didn't want that for me.
No, I didn't. I and like, really
that's,
was.
That's
I remember
like
seeing
the text.
That's
your job as a friend to be like, nah, it's all good. Imagine if I was like, I think I'm getting dumped tomorrow and you turned around and you were like, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Your ass is getting dumped. Yeah, like, come on.
There but really were no signs.
I think I've really developed the ability to be like, does this feel good? No, I don't want to do it. And then just pull the pin. Like, and not do it. I think that's the best thing you can realize is you don't have to do anything you don't want to do within reason. And being able to just, you know, pull the pin on things that you don't want to do. If you feel like in your gut a friendship isn't right for you, a relationship isn't serving you, a workplace isn't going to give you the joy that you deserve in life, trust the gut. The gut.
The gut.
The gut.
TM.
Yeah. Trust the gut.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I don't think it's ever wrong. And it's okay to be wrong too.
Yeah, but it's best to proceed with caution.
Yeah, I feel like as well if you do end up being like, Joe, I'm not going to pursue that, you're then like, I didn't. And you don't even know because you didn't pursue it, you don't know what you missed out on.
Yeah.
So it's fine. Whereas if you ignore your gut and then it all goes to shit, you're like, I should have listened.
Yeah, you're like, damn it, yeah. I knew that something like this was going to happen. I should have just trusted myself.
So that is a wrap on our 7 life lessons to be your own bestie, and we can go into advice with Jinx. Okay, this is a very quick advice of the chicks.
Yeah.
And it's from Mandy. And it says, imagine you were 45, single, no kids. How would you live your best life? Have you ever seen the movie Eat, Pray, Love?
Yeah, that.
That's it. I would be traveling. I would be finding the cartoon man from Inside Out that says, come fly with me, Kachinya. And I would fly with him. Mm-hmm. And I would just go and live my fantasy.
Yeah.
When I would answer this question, I would say write a book. But did that. So,
lol.
Yeah, I'd be like, go somewhere amazing, like work on a book and just like live the main character life.
Yeah.
And in this fantasy, I'm rich as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've got
everyone.
Like, it's just like, I didn't know how it happened. Maybe like a spicy divorce or something because I'm 45 and I'm single.
Yeah.
So maybe I like got a payout from that.
Yeah. Or maybe we like went on a weekend trip and found gold somewhere.
Yeah,
we
won the lottery.
We went gold panning.
Gold panning?
Yeah.
Do you know people can do that?
Yeah, I know.
Should we do it?
I'm down.
Broke chicks. Two broke chicks to two rich bitches.
Yeah.
How do you make you riches? We found the golden nugget.
I can really see that for us.
Yeah, on like sunrise next morning being like, damn, now here, Bessie, get me a gold nugget right now. And you're like, Alex, why are you talking like that? And I'm like, Sal, it's for the bit.
It's for the bit.
It's fine. I've like coloured in a tooth on it's gold. I've
just got a gold tooth. I've replaced it.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. So there's that. Yeah, I agree. Like obviously travelling and everything. But for like an everyday sort of approach, if I was 45, single, no kids, I would just be living my life for myself and like prioritizing what I want out of my life and putting myself first, which I feel like usually is like so looked down upon, especially as a woman. Like you're always supposed to be putting other people first. And it's important to do that. But I think by the time I was 45, I'd hope that I would allow myself more time to prioritize the things that I would want to do. And you don't have to answer to anyone.
Nah. We'd be How giving like Ginger and Carmen. Love them.
Yes.
If you don't follow them on Instagram, follow them. I think the thing I like about this question and what I want to give the chicks homework is write down how you would live your best life if you were 45 single and had no kids. What would your perfect day look like? And then read it and realize that a lot of what you've written down is very achievable because all the things that make you happy, you have already experienced.
Yeah.
Because you've experienced them, so you know they make you happy. Yeah. So keep doing those things.
Yeah, but it may just be a matter of prioritizing them and making more time and space for them.
Illy. Let's bring back Illy.
Yeah.
I love that. I also was really campaigning for the word gobby to be brought back, but Sal said I'm not allowed to do that.
Did I? I feel like you brought it back.
Well, thank you so much for having us in your ear holes, chicks. We absolutely love to be here. And again, just the biggest, biggest thank you for your support and helping us achieve our dreams, literally. Mm-hmm. Like this, none of this would be possible without you. And you are literally our best friends.
Yeah. Yeah. As we mentioned in part one of this Friendship Week.
Friendship Week.
We did really write this book for you chicks and we hope that you love it. And we can't wait to hear all of your feedback and what you think. So, yeah, give it a little pre-order if you'd like.
Illy.
Link is in the show notes.
Illy.
Illy.
And thank you to MIK Made for making this episode of Two Broke Chicks Happen.
Illy 2.
Illy 2.
Bye, Illy
SM. Goodbye. Thanks again to Shotback for making today's episode of Two Broke Chicks happen. We've popped a link to the cheat sheet in the show notes below, and don't forget to make sure you save through Shotback to get more bang for your buck.